This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Talking about the latest with Matt Stafford. Maybe we'll hear something from Andrew Berry today about who the next Browns quarterback could be. I'm not betting on it, but he'll be asked questions. And Dale Ryder is in for Ken Carmen here on 92.3 The Fan today. It's Combine Week. Things are starting to get spicy, all sorts of rumors. You got to keep it right here on 92.3 The Fan throughout the week to see all the latest wheelings and dealings, the rumors, the creamy nougats, if you will. Do you think we'll hear anything from Andrew Berry on Matt Stafford, whether or not, maybe in a vague sense, what the Browns could do at QB today?
I appreciate the question, Anthony, but I cannot discuss players on another team. That's what you're going to hear from Andrew Berry on Matthew Stafford today.
Well, we're going to get him either way. For at least 15 minutes. There's always a tight window on that, so maybe it'll be capped at that. But, hey, look, it's stuff is starting to float. There's all sorts of speculation. We'll get to some Shedeur Sanders rumors and maybe a potential trade down for the Browns. We'll do that in roughly 20 minutes. But right now, and I want to know where people are on Matt Stafford, 216-474-0092. Albert Breer had the report yesterday in his column that the teams you'd suspect that would have their hat in the Matt Stafford ring include the Giants, the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Cleveland Browns. Now, that was from Breer yesterday, so obviously Browns fans' tentacles went up. This was Pete Schrager on Good Morning Football, the NFL Network, yesterday from Indy.
This was nothing that is between them personally. This is a money issue. And Matthew Stafford wants to be paid what he thinks he's worth. He wants to be paid more than $50 million. Truth of the matter is, Matthew Stafford was one pass away from playing an NFC Championship game at home against the Washington Commanders this year. That guy can still ball. And if you don't think he's one of the top nine quarterbacks in the NFL currently, then you're thinking he's not worth $50 million. And that's really where we're starting that number, $50
million. Well, we're starting at $50 million. Boy, Matt Stafford, he's on pace to make like $400 million as a quarterback in the NFL. Does have a Super Bowl. Does have a lot of non-playoff years under his belt as well. And last year, he was okay. He wasn't great. I thought he was better than Aaron Rodgers, but he was just kind of okay.
Well, there are a lot of guys in the NFL that were better than Aaron Rodgers last year.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is I've seen some Browns fans say Aaron Rodgers.
He's on your list right now.
He turned, yeah.
Not on my
list. And he turned it on at the end of the year.
Well, you better put him on there, Daryl, because he's one of the only options you're going to have.
He got healthier. By the end of the year, he was a little more agile.
Believe me, he's not on mine either.
Here's Peter Schrager on the NFL Network, concluding with the teams that could be in the mix for Matt Stafford.
So you look at the teams and you look at the options for the Rams. Say you trade him to the Steelers. Are the Steelers willing to give a first or second round pick and pay Matthew Stafford $50+ million? And is Stafford willing to go play in Pittsburgh in the cold weather? And is Kelly and the four girls, are they going to want to go move out to Pittsburgh? How about the Giants? They're not giving up the third overall pick, but would they be willing to give up the 34th overall pick and pay him $55 million? The Raiders are an option. You can go down the list. The issue with this year for Stafford is if they do trade Matthew Stafford, there are quarterbacks who would likely love to play for the Rams.
All right, that was yesterday on Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager. So, Dale, you heard the reporting. You heard the speculation. $50 million. Not only that, you got to trade what? We'd have to trade number two overall. And I know this is...
No, you'd probably have to... You'd trade swap, 33.
Right? Oh, they're saying... Well, because he was talking, and I've heard others talk about, you know, having to deal the first overall pick, you know, in each team's
33
draft.
33 and some change.
Okay.
Well, I think so would get it that, done.
If that's the case, are you in? Because $50 million. I mean, first of all,
well,
I get the cap magic.
Well, if he wasn't asking for $50 million, I'd be in, but it's just not feasible.
All right, so I flipped a little bit on this because over the last week, I'm like, well, if you go and get Stafford, that is, to me, and I don't know what Myles Garrett is really thinking in his heart of hearts, I thought Stafford was the best name that could potentially keep Myles Garrett.
I'd agree with that.
However, the more and more I think about it, you know, I took a shortcut for Deshaun Watson. I wanted the Browns to take a shortcut, and they did. In a situation where they thought they had a team ready to compete, they had a quarterback that hadn't played, but the last time he had played was considered by many to be a top five quarterback in the NFL, at worst, like top eight. And they took the shortcut, and it combusted in magnificent fashion. It did not work out. I think they're even less right now in a situation. They're even in a worse situation than they were then. And to think that Matt Stafford is the shortcut when he's coming off a year where he was just, like I said, for Matt Stafford, he was just okay. Might have even been a below average year for Matt Stafford. And now he's 37. And now he's got to play in the cold and rain and wind, which has never really been a part of the Matt Stafford experience. He's always been best suited in the domes and in those controlled environments.
Right.
That's when you get the best out of
it. If it were 2029, I would say Brown should be full steam ahead for Matthew
Stafford.
Yeah, the dome,
right? I'll be a little too old by then. But you get my drift. Like, I do not think this makes sense. I don't think the shortcut makes sense for the Browns. I think, and I've said this time and time again, if a new GM were to come in and this would be the first offseason for the Browns, they would trade Myles Garrett. They would probably tank. They would be an asset collection in the asset collection business. They certainly wouldn't be spending assets, and they would not be spending more cap space. So I do not think this is the right move, and I would not go in this direction if I were the Browns, even though I think this would be the most fun, getting Stafford, keeping Miles. I think that would be the most fun. We'd have the most fun. The stadium would be full. The tailgates would be back up and running, maybe not downtown because of what's going on with the local government, but you get my drift. Like, I don't think this move makes sense. I'm trying to do this with my brain and not my emotions. My emotions are like, yeah, this would be awesome. Matt Stafford, let's run it for at least a year. Let's see what we can do. But it, again, is kicking the can. It's again, deferring the pain that you're in over time. And I think these are the types of moves that would almost guarantee that the Browns would be in a worse situation over the next 5 years. I wouldn't do it.
It's not a practical move. It's fun for us to sit here and talk about. It's not practical from a... cash standpoint, from a salary cap standpoint, from a giving up assets standpoint. I mean, I don't
from
know.
From a convincing Stafford to actually come here to Cleveland standpoint.
I was going to get to that point.
Him and his wife and the four kids, the four girls. Is that what Peter Schrager said?
But like, I just, you're right. It's not practical. It's great for us to talk about. I never bought for a moment that the Browns were serious contenders for Matthew Stafford. Should they be? 100%. But that's a separate conversation. Should be interested versus can actually make it happen and execute it. Two completely different things. I'll throw this one at you since we're just, you know, throwing stuff out there. What if you traded Myles Garrett for Matthew Stafford?
No, I don't think it makes that even makes less sense to me. Just like I don't think it makes sense to trade Myles Garrett and include the pain of the Deshaun Watson contract.
It's
that doesn't make sense to me either.
From a cap standpoint, I just don't see any path to make that work. And that is why we keep coming back to Kirk Cousins. Once the Falcons move on from him, you can bring him in here. He and Kevin Stefanski have a previous relationship. Cousins has had success working with Stefanski, and you're going to be able to pay him around the veteran minimum. That is the type of move that the Browns have to make this
year. We're talking about the moves that would make sense from 10,000 feet perspective, right?
I
want to know this organization. Are they trying to save their jobs? Are they trying to be the organization that doesn't lose Myles Garrett? Are they going to try to take any shortcut they can to try to win now and put all the chips in the middle of the table, in which, I'm telling you, I don't think the bet is good enough. I don't even think if Matt Stafford and Myles Garrett are on the team this year, what do you have them finishing in the AFC North? What do you have them finishing in the AFC?
Same place they've been for the last 26 years. Last place.
Then it is such an easy no for this move.
Yeah.
216-474-0092. I want to hear from fans on this because I saw some excitement. Matt Stafford, Albert Breer mentioned him. Myles Garrett stays now. Now we can look at with Jerry Jeudy, and now what else are we doing in the wide receiver market? Let's push all the chips in the middle of the table for this move. And do what? Finish second or third in the AFC North?
Probably. I mean, the highest they've finished in the division in the last decade is third.
Is that third?
They can't get out of third place.
2020, they were third?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't get out of third place.
So I'm just trying. Somebody, hey, if you think you could talk sense into me and make it make sense for Andrew Berry, who's going to be talking today at 1 o'clock, in Indy,
they're going to have to maneuver a bunch of contracts just to get under the cap to maintain the current team and supplement it. You're talking about trying to bring in a guy making more than the quarterback you're already indebted to.
It just seems like you're compounding the problem to try to get rich quick.
So let's say he wants $50 million a year and you got to do a three-year contract. That's a three-year, $150 million contract. You're going to have to put about 20 voidable years on the back of that to make the salary cap
work. That's what I mean. You're deferring the credit card payment. And I know the cap bros will say, the cap goes up. Interest-free loan, here you go. I get the sense that they always talk about it. But you got to remember, you're in the NFL with a whole bunch of other teams that won't have all this money.
There's going to come a day where the cap's not going up $20 million a year. Believe it or not, it's going to happen.
Well, maybe not, Daryl. The way the NFL just prints money time and time again, they find a way.
I do owe Browns fan an apology.
Wow, Daryl. This is the first recorded apology in the history of Daryl Ryder.
I failed to recognize the second place finish in 2023. They did finish in second place in 2023. So that is one time in the last decade. They also, most teams hang divisional championship banners. They hang wild card banners. They hang conference championship banners. They hang Super Bowl banners. The Browns are so incompetent as a franchise and such a bunch of Charlie Brown losers as a franchise, they should hang second place banners. They'd have three of them in the expansion era. 2023, 2027, and 2002. Maybe they should hang some third place banners. They'd really fill up the Ring of Honor with those. They'd have six of those. And then, you know what? If you really, really wanted to go overboard with the decorating down in Huntington Bank Field, how about let's honor the last place finishes? You'd have 15 fourth place finishes and 2 sixth place finishes. Those are the real championships of these expansion Cleveland Browns as they're in their golden era under Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, having lost 44 games while winning 40. The best this franchise has been since Marty Schottenheimer in the late 1980s. My bad. Second place, here we come.
Under this logic, though, Daryl, they just get a banner every year.
Right.
That's a lot of banners.
That's a lot.
It's a big stadium.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? I give
eventually you'd run out of space.
Speaking of banners, give the Cavs a lot of credit. Every time they used to want to hang a banner, they'd retire a jersey. Well, now what do you know? They win the division. They win the conference. They win NBA championships. See, that's how it's done, Cleveland Browns.
You know, they have the they got Joe Thomas's number.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor.
And they got the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They should just throw a bunch of names on there over the next few years because they're moving anyway.
They've already done that. It's called the Browns Legends Club.
Okay, it's Christian Kirksey in the Browns Legends Club.
Yes, he is.
Who they made sure to give a nice tribute to at the end of this season. Darryl, that didn't seem genuine. I'm going to be honest. My sarcasm meter went off. The detection went off.
I'm just saying.
It just didn't seem that genuine. And I think if somebody's asking for a nice apology and that's what they get, I don't know if they're going to feel good.
Hang the banner for 2023, 2007, and 2002. Finished in second place. That's as high as we go.
216-474-0092. I said I'm out on the Matt Stafford shortcut and deferring the pain. I don't think we can defer the pain anymore. I want the pain now. Give me the pain as much. I'm sadistic. Yeah, just give it to me now. Darryl, I think you agree
when it comes to
Matt Stafford.
I'm allowing facts to get in the way of a good story. That's my problem with this whole Matthew Stafford thing. I can't even contemplate making the transaction because I just see anything happens. I don't see how it can happen from a financial standpoint. I don't see how it can happen from a cap statement.
What if the cap bros are right and they manipulate the cap
to
the nth degree? Then you would. You would bring in Matt Stafford and push the pain into the future even more.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take Matthew Stafford here in a heartbeat, and I have done what I always do every year. I have talked myself into Kirk Cousins. Because those are the best of the worst that's available this offseason.
Hold on. You might not be alone. Ryan in Columbia Station. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. I'm against the Matt Stafford thing. It just, there's too many factors of why it won't work out. I've been kind of a Kirk Cousins defender for the last few years. You look at his stats from Minnesota. I mean, he threw for over 4,000 yards every season except the season he was injured and then one other season. His quarterback rating was like right around 102, I'm pretty sure, for the average. I mean, the guy's put down some decent stats, and I think he gets a lot of hate from people for not a lot of reasons. I'm not a Minnesota fan. I'm not sticking up for, you know, a player that I love. I just think he's a good, solid quarterback. I don't know what happened in Atlanta. But my question to you guys is, why is he available from Atlanta? If they just signed him, why would he be already moving, or why would they be moving on from him already?
All right, thank you, Ryan. Well, but part of it is they drafted a quarterback. They're doing what we are going to do, right? If we 100%. Go that Kirk Cousins route, we're probably going to draft a quarterback either at the start of the second round or maybe they trade up at the end of the first round.
He also throws interceptions as frequently as Jameis Winston does. I mean, 18 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
Oh, those were his numbers last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's had good seasons. I don't want to make it sound like...
Yeah, I mean, in 2023, he had 18 touchdowns, 5 picks. In 2022 with Minnesota, 29-14. His best season, or one of his best seasons, I should say, was in 2021, 33-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's a phenomenal ratio. The year before that, in 2020, 35-13. With Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota... I'm just going to combine them, 2018, 2019, 56 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. But keep in mind, that's like, 5 years ago?
He's also saying that also what led to his benching was the shoulder and the elbow injury. And so, again, these quarterbacks, just the more years, I mean, they all can't be Tom Brady. I mean, they are going to, especially when they lose some of their elusiveness, you know, whether it's in the pocket. Obviously, Kirk Cousins is going to be a total pocket guy. You know, Aaron Rodgers couldn't move last year. Stafford could move around a little bit, but he's always been a pocket guy. Rodgers had no wheels left. He once a play broke down, once a tackle got beat, that was the end of the play.
Right. What's the one thing that's undefeated in sports?
Well, I have one term that I learned from my good buddy Zach Jackson I can't use. But yes, the other is age.
Yeah.
The other is age.
That's it.
216-474-0092. So, have you seen speculation, more teams, potentially one in particular, moving up as much as they can in the draft to land Shedeur Sanders?
I have seen a lot of speculation about teams wanting to overdraft Shedeur Sanders, and I'm all for it as long as you're not the Cleveland Browns. I will gladly take 2026 first-round picks off the hands of any franchise that would like to come up and get Shedeur Sanders from the Cleveland Browns.
All right, well, here is one rumor that's out there. ESPN's Jordan Renan, multiple league insiders are convinced the Giants have their sights on Sanders, but that would not necessarily keep the team from targeting a more experienced option at the position. The Giants had Super Bowl-winning quarterback Kurt Warner as the starter when they drafted Eli Manning with the number one pick.
Well, I've been saying for weeks that the two teams to watch for in the Shedeur Sanders sweepstakes are the New York Giants at 3 and the Las Vegas Raiders at 6. Those are the two teams that I would have no problem with the Browns making a trade with, provided that you get their 2026 first-round pick, along with swapping the pick this year in that deal, okay? Because that then gives you multiple first-round picks in your pocket next year so that you don't have to fail your way into a top-two pick. You then have the assets to move up because...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My thought process is I'll give you two first-rounders next year, and then I'll give you the 2027 first-rounder too. And if, yeah, you want some mid-round picks in there, do some pick swaps, that's fine as well, so that you can get up into the top two and get your quarterback of choice next year. Because I am banking, Lima. I will not be bullied by you. I will not be bullied by Ken Carmen. I will not be bullied by Jonathan Peterlin. I will not be bullied by Baskin and Phelps. Jake Volnick's not going to bully me to either one of these quarterbacks. Not going to have. And you know what? I'm not going to be guilted into it either.
Yeah, leave the Ken Carmen bullying. Leave that to Mitch. He can worry about that. You're not going to be bullied by Ken Carmen anytime soon. I'm just reading this Bleacher Report story. Another reason New York can't put all its eggs in the Sanders basket is that may not be available when it's on the clock with the number three pick, the Titans and the Browns. Ahead of the Giants, both could plausibly select the buff star. Now, we've talked a lot about Shedeur Sanders. Trevor Sikkema was talking a lot about Shedeur Sanders. He, of PFF fame, was on with a Baskin and Phelps yesterday, and he was not as sold on having Shedeur Sanders up there at number two overall.
I think that he has a really high floor as a prospect. I think that he understands the game very well. I think he understands how to read defenses already. He understands how to play the position of quarterback at a very high level, as you would expect with somebody who's grown up around the game. But I'm worried about the overall arm talent and the lack of mobility. I really am. He's not somebody who brings a lot of athleticism to the position. He's just not a mobile guy. He'll hold on to the ball a little bit too long. He doesn't have that escapability at the college level, and it only gets worse at the NFL level. Then you go to the arm talent. I think the arm talent is adequate, but I'm not drafting a guy with adequate arm talent at number 2 overall. I think that he can be a very solid, you know, ranked 12 to 24 type of a quarterback in this league year in and year out. I think he can be one of those mid-tier starters, but I just don't think that he's got the arm talent to match up against these alien quarterbacks that you have to beat to win a Super Bowl. There's just too many more talented quarterbacks in this league for me to draft what I believe is more of just an adequate arm talent player in Shedeur Sanders in the top 3.
All right, Trevor Sikkema, who you've heard on this station a lot in the lead up to the draft, you'll hear more. So he says, you know, the physical attributes aren't there. Now, I will say,
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, Bryce Young's arm talent was in question, was it not? His arm strength?
Yeah.
Well, I should say was in question. And he went where in the draft?
Yeah, I think there Number are one. Some legitimate questions about arm strength with Shedeur. But that's like the biggest question with him is the arm talent aspect of it. Decision-making, not worried about that. Football pedigree, not worried about that, right? Decision-making, I think he made some fairly sound decisions based on what I watched during last college season. His offensive line wasn't all that great, so it's really hard to evaluate like some of the instinctual stuff when you're under siege all the time. But the number one issue that I have seen, and you've got to have arm talent in Cleveland. You just have to. With the weather we have here, you have to be able to push the football. And that is my biggest concern. Now, if your offense is going to be that quick slant, short, you know, three-step drop, ball is out, then I think Shedeur Sanders is perfect. And that's why you're seeing folks tie him to the Browns, because Kevin Stefanski is very big on timing routes. But that's all well and good, Lima. But also Stefanski likes to push the ball down the field. That's the number one concern that I have about Shedeur Sanders is his ability to push the ball deep down the field with accuracy. And you got to be able to do that here. I mean, it's you're not playing in Miami where it's sunny and 75 every week. The weather here is, I mean, remember when Baker came out, right? Those are questions they're asked. Can he play in these, you know, sloppy conditions? When they traded for Deshaun Watson, hey, you're leaving a dome in Houston to come up here in Cleveland, right? Well, I think we have our answer with Deshaun. But those are things that you have to consider in this. Operationally, I think Shedeur Sanders would fit within Kevin Stefanski's system, assuming Kevin Stefanski's allowed to run his system.
See, you know the name I keep coming back to, even though they're not the exact same type of player, but their profile coming out, at least where the pundits have them, is Bo Nix. And I do wonder, if you ask the average Browns fan, would they take Bo Nix at number 2 overall? He did go to the playoffs last year with Sean Payton. I still think most fans say no. Oh, am I off on that?
No, he not only went there with Sean Payton on calling the offense, but their defense was, you know, one of the top defenses.
Yeah, they
had the defensive player of the year.
The Broncos got to the playoffs.
And they had another guy that was up for defensive player of the year.
And it's not like the Browns don't have Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett as well, but...
Now, Bo Nix is 29 touchdowns, 12 picks. You'd probably take that from a rookie quarterback.
Of course.
But just his, like, what is his ceiling? And I know we do get trapped in talking about ceilings
well,
on a lot of these
players. Well, that reminds me so much of Baker Mayfield as a rookie, too. And they were, you know, they were two or three outcomes away from being a playoff team as well when Baker Mayfield was a rookie.
Maybe had they have gone to him earlier, right? So there, I bring up Bo Nix because I keep hearing that's in the realm of where they had Shedeur Sanders as a prospect, where they have him now, where they had Bo Nix. Now, if you redrafted, you know, it'd be interesting. Would all the quarterbacks just go top? You know, Drake May... You know, Caleb Williams might go third, right?
Right.
Because you still are betting on his talent.
Yeah.
He still has more talent, right, quote unquote, than Bo Nix.
Right. You're a year removed away from having the top defense in the NFL here in Cleveland. So I kind of disagree with fans that wouldn't want Bo Nix. He's better than anything the Browns have had.
Hold on to that for a sec. Eric and Akron, that's interesting. Getting into the mind of Daryl. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
So I got a question. If we draft whoever, I don't really care what quarterback it is, whether it's Ward or Sanders or maybe somebody next year, and they end up being, say, a 5-10 quarterback in the league, right? They're on the cusp, but they're not quite Patty Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. Do we just keep drafting quarterbacks? Do we throw that guy out too? Like, I guess is not elite good enough? Because I think the idea of we have to have the top-tier quarterback is unsustainable. We're just going to keep drafting quarterbacks until we finally get that, and we don't know when that's going to be.
But look at the quarterbacks in the AFC right now. You have to look at the comparison there, and if you're not a top-tier quarterback,
thank you, Eric.
You're sixth or seventh at best.
Yeah, you know, you're in the neighborhood. Are you still behind Herbert?
Probably. Yeah. So you're behind Patrick Mahomes. You're behind Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Herbert. Now I'm six deep now, right?
You didn't put C.J. Stroud in there,
right? I mean, that's just the reality.
You laughed, but they love Drake May. They think he is franchise quarterback material in New England.
Now they have a coach that they think could take him there.
If you want to win a Super Bowl, you better have an elite quarterback.
This is why I'm taking the pain now. I want to get back to that. 216.
Well, it's February 25th, Anthony. I don't know if I can take the pain on February 25th.
216-474.
Better than taking it during the season.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
So I kind of feel attacked here because Owen told me a story about yesterday going out to a local establishment, and I could tell by the texts that I was getting from Owen that he was enraged.
It was a direct shot at you.
Well, and I understand it. I totally understand it. But I also hope Owen understands I will change nothing with my behavior, and I don't think the person that was bothering him will change anything with their behavior. Owen, would you like to go into detail how your evening night out
interrupted? I'll just say it to the person. If you were in Avon Lake at the Legacy Mexican Restaurant, if you know what I'm saying, there's two of them now. One of them's gone. There used to be three. There's two of them. It's been around forever. It's under new ownership. We went there to try out the new ownership's food. We've heard great things about it. We went in, sat down, and next to us was a table, a family, that multi-generation family, all sitting there, probably 10 people, eating, and on the end and pointed right towards us was Miss Rachel on a phone for a couldn't have been more than 2 years old toddler, and Miss Rachel just blaring back in my ear the entire dinner, the entire time that me and my wife were out together with no kids, enjoying an evening to ourselves.
That had to be horrible.
It is absolutely the worst. I have refrained many times from people who let their children run amok at the table, and they think it's the cutest thing ever. And I have to remember, hey, I thought my children were the cutest ever at that age as well. But your kid's not the cutest. Your kid is annoying me. Your kid and you are facilitating them to ruining my evening, ruining my experience. Get a hold of yourself. Don't let your children blare. The phone was at as loud as it could possibly be. It was louder than the loud trumpets blaring through the speakers for every song that was playing. I couldn't hear that. It was a horrible experience because of you and your need to not interact with your own child, but just put Miss Rachel in front of them.
And I'll say, we've done this. I mean, we have absolutely had Miss Rachel. We've had Miss Moni. A lot of misses. A lot of misses in my life right now. Used to be mistresses. Now it's a lot of misses in my life because of that. Because it's the only way. It legitimately is the only way to shut them up. Let me play devil's advocate, Owen. And I see Daryl wants to get in on this. Devil's advocate, Owen, if they weren't watching that, do you know what would be happening?
I'm not sure. You tell me, Anthony. I've never raised children.
The fidgeting would turn into screaming, would turn into being released from the table.
You don't think that my 18, 17, 16, 15, 13, 11-year-olds, you don't think when they were kids I didn't see them in that having that attitude and going, hey, maybe we just aren't Maybe we aren't doing this tonight.
So you're saying that
have
this family would
for
be
the
best
people around.
If they're gonna have Miss Rachel at a level 10
yes.
on the volume, just don't go to the restaurant
they went
with
to
your
11.
Kids.
This goes to a greater issue, and that is speakerphone in public. Most annoying and disrespectful thing ever. I don't care what you're up to. I don't care who you're hanging out with. I don't care about who you're gossiping about. I don't care about what's going on at your job. I was at the barber yesterday, and someone was on speakerphone. An employee of a certain segment of our population right now that is going through some turbulence and uncertainty about their employment is what I will say. And some of the things...
Andrew Barry?
So some of the things that were being said, I'm not even going to repeat on the
Reckless
radio.
Reckless speculation.
I think he's safe. He's an indie. Should be fine.
Because even I was just like, I can't believe you're speaking like this on a speakerphone with someone sitting right next to you. So I get the Miss Rachel frustration, but there's nothing that drives me more crazy, whether it's kids or whether it's grown adults that are on speakerphone watching videos, listening. I think there's an airline now that is...
They banned it?
They're doing the on the safety instructions.
Really?
That take your stuff off speakerphone. No music, no shows, no other. But too much stuff on speakerphone. Shows, music, and conversations. Knock it out. Nobody cares. Wear some headphones.
Well, I am with you there. Also, I think the airline should focus on landing the planes right side up. Curtis and Geneva.
Speculation.
Go ahead, Curtis. Right side up.
Sorry, I'm a father with a 14-month-old that when we go to restaurants, you have two choices for anyone sitting next to us. You either are going to see our daughter watching Miss Rachel on her phone, or you're going to hear her scream. Pick your poison,
right, Curtis? It's like the lesser of evils. So, Curtis, have you felt, because we stopped going to restaurants for about 5 months because it was out of control when my youngest wanted to start walking around, wanted to start screaming. So the only way we could do the restaurant.
Kid on a leash, Lima.
Well, they haven't invented that yet made that legal. Maybe at Disney you can do that. So, Curtis, have you thought about just not going to restaurants?
No. Oh, well, I'm also not.
Whoa!
See you, Curtis. I just want you to know personally, Curtis and Geneva, that Owen and Avon Lake thinks you're a horrible parent. I think that anybody that wants to bring out your toddler and let them act the way that you let them act in public, and your only way to curtail that is to go, we'll make even more of a spectacle about it.
Wait, you think there's actually a way to control a toddler?
Yes, stay at home.
Okay, well, that's different, but, you know, we're also...
No, that's not different.
We're also...
Have some respect for everyone else in the community. Stay at home.
But these restaurants are desperate to get toddlers out. Look at their menus. Look at the kids' menus.
Yes.
Would you like to know why?
They love the two and under crowd at restaurants.
Well, no, they know, though, that who's bringing...
Come on.
Who's,
you're about to get kicked on your own show, Anthony.
You know that they are incentivizing bringing the toddlers out because they want the money. The restaurants were really hard up for getting
people
through the doors.
Right, because they want to charge $8 for dino nuggets and
true.
Have them not eat them and throw them on the floor.
There's a lot of waste involved in these scenarios.
I think we need to go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s discipline of children in this country. Because every time I'm out in public and I see kids, they're all acting a fool. And you know what? As a kid growing up, I couldn't act like that.
Well, if you lived where I lived, Daryl, in the
80s and 90s, I'm so well-behaved
my parents
as an adult.
Didn't even have to discipline me because the neighbors would.
That's true. Well, we didn't even have the money to go out to restaurants.
That's true.
That was a foreign idea to begin with. Listen, the reason I'm not fighting you is because I was with you 2.5 years ago. I never wanted to see kids in public. I never wanted to see it. But for our marriage, if we don't ever go out, if we never go out to a restaurant, that's the end of the marriage.
I thought of this, and I thought of you exactly, and I said, here's how we do it, Anthony. We could go double date. I will bring my 15-year-old daughter over. We will drop her off at your house. We can go out, have a nice dinner, and at the end, I will come back and pick up my child who watches your children responsibly.
Can she watch two?
Should I just start bringing them with me and offering the service
to everybody
at the
who comes in? I like that idea. Let's go to Lou in North Royalton. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lou. All right, he's breaking up a little bit. Ken and Wadsworth, I think, is on the same page as Lou was. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. So John and Wadsworth here. I called yesterday. Thanks for taking my call again. Look, I'm with Owen. If you can't control your kid, stay home. Or you need there is a middle ground, but, I mean, I've got a grandson on the way, and my wife and I are in full agreement. When we start doing the restaurant thing, if the kid starts acting up, one of us is taking the kid outside, the other one's closing the door, and we're going home. It's not
We've had to depart ASAP. We try to make it work.
Yeah.
I've had to carry a kid or both kids outside because I'm not going to subject them to the screaming. I'm with Owen. You shouldn't have Miss Rachel where everybody can hear it. The whole point is you would think the ambient sound of the restaurant would drown some of it out. At least that's the hope.
And my wife is a teacher, and she says, you know, a restaurant is a place.
I can't hear you, Ken.
Shapes, table colors, numbers, letters, and have two.
Do you know what her Netflix deal was? I'm I went into the wrong business. Thank you, Kath. Sorry, we got to move on. Thank you, Ken. Jay, go ahead. Jay on the road. Yeah, she's on Netflix now. Go ahead, Jay.
Guys, look, I got a 7-year-old. I got a 9-year-old. They're great in a restaurant. I've been out with other families that have monstrous children. They just should not bring their kids to restaurants. I'd much rather them be on phones than be bouncing around, throwing food at the walls like some of my friends' kids do. Horrific. Stay home. However, I will say this. As someone who grew up in the 80s, and I remember smoking and non-smoking sections, they should offer children and non-children sections.
Okay. You know what? That's fair.
That's a great fix. We walked out last night. They have a nice bar in the front, and they have some seating there. They weren't putting any. It's Monday night. They weren't putting people at those tables. But I said next time we'll just sit at the bar when we come here. We won't venture off into the family area.
You know what? I'm totally for that. I have no problem with that.
The lack of discipline amongst kids today, completely unacceptable.
I've learned there's nothing you can say to it. When a toddler is upset, there's nothing you can say. Right now, Miss Rachel's been the best option for us, but when it's gone bad, we've gotten out of there. We're not going to subject everybody around us. All right.